Hello, this is Richard Carafell from Agility PR Solutions, and welcome to PR Profiles, a video series and podcast where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry, because we think PR is the most formidable, dynamic, and rewarding field there is. And we want to introduce you to some of our favorite powerhouses in the industry. And today we're speaking with Lindsay Groper. She's the president of Blast Media and a 2022 Bulldog Awards winner. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, nice to see you. Thank you for mentioning that. We were excited to receive that award recently.
Oh, absolutely. Congratulations, and we're thrilled to have you. Okay, so first of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself and about what's going on at Blast Media.
Yeah, for sure. So I have had the really fun ride of being with Blast Media for the last 17 plus years, which is as long as the agency has been around. So I got hooked in at the very beginning of the agency, lucky enough to be the first official employee, full-time employee 17 years ago. So have been able to hold a lot of different positions, but scale the agency to the 70 plus person agency that we are today, which certainly has been a really interesting journey. Wish would have written it down, had many volumes of books at this point, but it has been one of my life's greatest pleasures to work alongside two of my best friends, who are our co-founders, Kelly Hendricks and Mindy Morney.
That is awesome, man. Congratulations on all that success. Sounds like a book in the making for sure. I'm sure everyone would love to hear that story. All right. Thanks, Lindsay. Now, this is kind of a rapid fire interview, so I'm just going to throw these questions out at you. So over the course of the podcast that we've been doing, several of our guests have said they're finally starting to see PR get a seat at the table, with more executives treating it as a necessity rather than a luxury. But even with this positive movement, only 2 years back, at the beginning of the pandemic, we saw a lot of organizations cutting back on spending, particularly their marketing and PR budgets. So how, as a PR professional and agency president, can you make sure that when your name comes up at a client's budget meeting, they remember the value you bring?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that we talk about internally, not only as an agency, but also externally with our client contacts, because our client contacts are oftentimes anywhere from the CMO to the SVP of marketing. If it's a larger organization, it might be a head of comms or director of PR, and they're fighting a good fight, right? They understand the power of brand, and they are looking to us to show the value when they go into their board meeting or when they report into their quarterly business report with their CEO. So we have these conversations a lot. And where we find the path of least resistance to showing value is ensuring that at the beginning of any relationship that we are tying into that marketing org's larger business goals. So what that sounds right, like, yes, Lindsay, duh, everyone does that. But really what that looks like in practice, it's not done that often, is what happens is when that CMO goes into their quarterly business report and says, here's all of my marketing objectives, here's all of the levers that I pulled to reach them, PR has to be one of those levers. Because unfortunately, what happens is they march in that quarterly business report, say, here's all the stuff I did, and then, oh yeah, our PR agency got coverage. That doesn't do us any favors. We have to be able to align and understand which objectives from a larger organization they have that we can plug PR into to help meet those. And when you ingrain yourself in the business, it's a lot harder to cut that spend, because as a CMO, you can say, yeah, guys, boy, we could cut our PR spend, but that means we're not going to reach these three objectives that PR helps us meet.
That's a terrific way to look at it. And that's a great goal for any, you know, PR third party agency, especially get yourself ingrained in to the business goals. That's fantastic advice. All right. Thank you, Lindsay. And you know, as we mentioned, you know, during the downturn at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of brands did cut on spending. With recession in the air, perhaps, you know, maybe that's going to happen again in the near future. So why do you think that the knee-jerk reaction of cutting brand spend during these downturns can be detrimental in the long term? And why is brand spend particularly important to the tech space when it comes to getting funding?
Yeah, we saw an unexpected and interesting shift at the start of the pandemic in 2020. There certainly was that knee-jerk reaction because no one knew what the heck was going on. I mean, you probably the same vein, right? None of us knew what was going on. So we saw in that first really March, April timeframe, we did see a knee-jerk reaction to cut marketing and to cut brand spend. But what was unexpected and really interesting is starting at the end of April and May, we saw a big increase in inbound leads, the amount of companies looking to increase in brand. Because what happened was the overnight, right, the physical world shut down. No more customer summits, no more trade shows, no more steak and handshake dinner for your sales teams and your large customers. So all of a sudden, companies were looking only at their digital presence, their perception online, and some of them didn't like what they saw. So brand spend, there was a Gartner survey that came out in 2020 at the end of that year that showed that brand spend now was the number one biggest budget item for marketing because a lot of the other things were taken away. So we did see an initial knee-jerk reaction where budgets were cut, but just as quickly, we saw this hockey stick of growth investments into brand. And we're a little bit different in that we're very niche agency. So we exclusively service B2B software as a service company. So B2B SaaS organizations, the SaaS industry exploded during COVID. So as people looked for digital tools to help them work remotely. So we are a bit of a different beast from that perspective. But for most of our clients, they're in a category race. All things considered equal, the technology does roughly the same. You know, if I'm a email marketing suite, roughly me and my competitors do the same thing. And what's going to make one brand rise over another is how people feel about them and what their perception is. Perception is going to be the biggest equalizer that you have from a marketing standpoint. And it's more important in times like this. And as we're heading into a pending recession, or you may think we're already in it, but in this potential downturn, when your competition pulls back, that presents a huge opportunity to strengthen your position in the market, with brand and PR being one of the most cost-effective ways to do that.
That's great. That's another terrific outlook. And of course, that quick rebound you saw, despite being in the SaaS industry, which was a pretty good place to be at the time, obviously, that couldn't have happened really unless you had done what you explained earlier, shown how, your agency fits right into the brand mission and goals. So that's a terrific response. And thank you very much for that information. Now, from the talent side, with a lot of businesses going remote and employees now, demanding more from their workplaces in terms of values and benefits and mental health considerations, how can agencies fight this big quit or great resignation and retain their employees?
Yeah, we're fortunate that we, throughout the last couple of years, maintained over a 95% retention rate for our team, which was phenomenal. That is rare, specifically in agency world. But we were fortunate that when we ripped the Band-Aid off and went remote, we were a full in-office culture. So we literally overnight went to remote. We already had all the technology in place where we didn't miss a beat. So my suggestion would be, make sure you're a tech-enabled agency. And it doesn't matter whether you're 5 people or 500 people, you have to have the ability to manage workflows, to understand project management, to have virtual collaboration, to have the communication tools that you need, whether that's asynchronous video tools, whether that's Slack. Those items have to be in place, and you need to make those software investments to have your agency run efficiently and be able to hold your teams accountable as well. So I'd say technology is number one. The second thing is having a layer of transparency. And I want to put an asterisk by this, because some agency owners are like, people can't handle the transparency. We tried it and everyone freaks out. There is an acceptable level of transparency as an agency owner that is necessary for your teams to feel they are part of the bigger agency picture. And that doesn't mean all sunshine and rainbows all the time. It means letting them in to understand what's going on with the business. You don't want your team members to ever be surprised to hear that either you're going on a hiring spree, or if you are looking to add a new division or unit. If things aren't going well, during COVID, we had a weekly report of clients that were leaving, clients that were starting, so that our agency knew where we stood. And they really valued that transparency from my partner, Mindy, and I along that journey. And that's something that we continue to do. So to have full transparency into the business as people are more removed from the office environment, you don't pick up the vibe because no one's here, is you have to be transparent. We have a structured hybrid office environment now. So we do have people in the office, but we do have remote employees who never are. And the third thing I would suggest, and this is the biggest one, is trust. So you never want to manage to the one team member who is taking advantage of the flexibility, isn't following along with the technology, is MIA from a day-to-day basis. Like that's not how you want to manage your agency. You need to trust that people that work for you want to be there, that they're getting their work done, that they're putting in the time, and they're doing it in a way that works for them. So we're not a need you to clock in at 8, need you to clock out at 5. We understand that this remote working environment has created a time and place that's new, where people can get their work done in different hours of the day and in different ways. And as long as they're getting their work done, we're cool. It's when they're not getting their work done that it becomes an issue, but we really haven't seen that. We've given the trust over. And truthfully, from the beginning, when we went remote, initially, we didn't have problems. If anything, we had problems with people not being able to shut their work off because there was nothing else to do. And now, luckily, we've come out of that. So I would say make technology investments, have a level of transparency, and trust your people.
Mm-hmm. Those are great, great tips and advice there. Some of them kind of roll into one another. I mean, you expect the trust from your employees, but you're laying the groundwork, you know, by being a transparent agency and showing that, you know, that you can be trusted. So that's fantastic. As far as the tech goes, you know, I can see people getting blindsided in 2020, you know, with that, but certainly no excuse these days to not be ready to handle any kind of situation in that regard. So thank you, Lindsay. Those are great, great tips. Now, despite being image makers, PR has had an image problem of its own for years. How can agencies challenge this perception problem for PR?
Yeah, I've actually talked on this before of PR's perception problem. And my solve to that for agencies is to do better, be better. We oftentimes will talk with companies who are looking at a new PR vendor, they're going through an agency review. And it feels really frustrating for me to hear things like, well, in my agency's defense, we didn't give them a lot to work with. We don't have a lot of announcements. It pains me. We have to do better than that. The perception problem is created by agencies who still rely on this traditional press release driven strategy that is really just one tactic. So what we need to do as agencies is understand that there are so many ways to create a consistent narrative in the press that are completely independent of press releases, that is uncovering data that lives within our client organizations. That's being proactive in your reactive strategy. Monitor the space, react to what's happening in the market and offer up your clients for commentary. That certainly is looking for opportunities for contributed content. It's pitching podcasts. It's having regular conversation with your client spokespeople to consistently uncover fresh commentary that you can pitch to the press. So it's our own fault that PR continues to have a perception problem because agencies continue to rely on very old traditional tactics to get press coverage. And we can all do better.
That's great advice, great insight actually there. And it's true, you know, PR is not just a one trick pony anymore. You know, you don't have to go the traditional media avenue every time. You know, there are lots of different forums and ways to get content out there and get messages out there. So it's true, PR has kind of backed itself into a corner. Some of these agencies, you know, that have led to this perception problem, I should say, and not only agencies, but, you know, in-house departments and, you know, various ways that it happens. So that's great advice. You know, do better is always fantastic. You mentioned transparency and trust, and those are two of the best ways to get that momentum rolling. All right, Lindsay, thank you so much. Now, what do you think is the best thing about being in PR?
This is, of course, my opinion. So depending on the nature of your agency or the nature of your work, if you're in-house, for me, it is the storytelling aspect. One of the things that we do with all of our clients at the beginning of the relationship is do a deep dive into the founder story and understand why did you get into this space? You know, what was your moment that made you realize this is what you were destined to do? And what's really interesting about that aspect is you oftentimes get the canned, messaged, rehearsed response to that. But our team is really good at asking the second and third and fourth questions to get to the juicy part. And we uncover some really incredible stories about our SaaS founders that we're able to leverage it and pitch to the press. But also in the act of storytelling, so there's these personal stories, but within our clients' industries, I mean, some are pretty thick, rich, and chocolatey. We're dealing with artificial intelligence, you know, operations for IT teams. Not the most interesting, but it always is interesting to the audience that you're looking to tell that story to. So figuring out how do we take something that's fairly mundane and technical and bring it to life? That to me is the cool stuff. And the really fun part of what we do is being able to extract that interesting commentary, extract those interesting storylines from within our client organizations.
Very cool. Yeah. And I love what you said about, you know, remember why you got into this in the first place, you know, because if you keep that in the back of your mind as you're going along, things are so much rewarding, aren't they? When you have those victories, those big victories, those small victories. Yep. Fantastic. Thank you, Lindsay. All right. Now, this question comes out a little bittersweet, but there's always a good story behind it. So what has been your biggest failure, do you think? And what were the lessons learned?
Yeah, I wish I had one big epic fail that I could point to. I do. I wish I had this moment in time where it's just crystal clear in my head. I would say less a failure, more a potential character flaw that I have learned to control over time, which is being too much of a pleaser. Mm-hmm. It's something that as I've gotten older, more experience that I've been able to wrangle. But how that has shown up in my career journey is lacking the ability to successfully create boundaries or say no. And what I have learned as I've been in the industry longer is to understand, number one, what is my bandwidth, and only say yes to the stuff that fills my cup, number one, and also to create boundaries in both personal and professional life. As we grew this organization, you know, it was very easy for me to say, yes, I'll jump in here. Yes, I'll help out here. You're struggling. Let me fix this. Right. I'm a pleaser. Sure. I have all this bandwidth. I can do this, when really that was hurting the people that I needed to rise up. So being a pleaser was preventing them from learning and growing, and me learning how to stay in my lane and within my own boundaries as we grew as an agency so that other people could rise up.
I see. Yeah, that's great. I'm not sure if that's a character flaw, but it's great to have self-awareness.
I don't know, being a pleaser.
Yeah, I know. It can't work against you, that's for sure. But it's great to have self-awareness about that kind of thing. So we'll call that a failure narrowly averted, because you've been on top of that your whole career. So fantastic. All right. Now, what advice would you give to students or to professionals who are just starting out?
Yeah, this one's pretty easy, which is be a consumer of news. We have, you know, we'll talk to potential interns, or we'll speak to class, you know, PR classes, and it's a tough conversation. And I don't know if you've experienced this as well. You know, our world is based on news, and today's students don't know what news is. They don't read magazines. They don't watch the news. They don't look at a newspaper. They get their news from social media. And so, but that is our world, is news. So be a consumer of the various types of news that's out there. Pick up a newspaper from time to time, or at the very least, go online, Wall Street Journal online, read the section that's most interesting to you. That could be, or you pick whatever your interest is, go find the popular blog or outlet for that particular topic and read. Watch national news. I know it's hard because it's a lot of doom and gloom, but whether that is the Today Show or your Fox News person, you're the other side of the fence on CNBC, but be a consumer of news, because that's what this industry is. You might end up at a place where you're executing social media on behalf of a client, but like, we don't do any social media. We are media relations. We are pitching the press. So you have to understand news to be successful in it. So start reading, start watching, start listening to it so that you're familiar with the different mediums that exist today.
That is terrific advice, especially these days. You know, the lines are blurred now between what is news, you know, and because of social media and everything else, you know, anybody can say anything and all of a sudden it can be news if it gets enough traffic. So I'd say I totally agree with you. And you know, the key there is to absorb news from professional media. You know, those are the guys who not only the people you're depending on for your jobs to get your work done, but those are the guys who really know what they're doing. So that's a fantastic piece of advice. So everybody, remember that one if you're just coming up. So, all right, that's wonderful. Now, Lindsay, finally, how can people connect with you?
Yes, all of the digital means that you would think of. So you can hit me up on LinkedIn, Lindsay Groper. I am Lindsay at Blast Media. So that's Lindsay with an E, LINDSEY. Happy to hear from anyone that wants to potentially explore careers at Blast Media. Anyone that wants to literally just pick my brain. If you're an emerging agency owner, if you're an in-house PR professional, always happy to expand my network and set aside 15 or 30 minutes to have some virtual coffee. Always open to that.
That's terrific. All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Now, okay, that's all the time we have, everybody. So again, we've been chatting with Lindsay Groper. She's the president of Blast Media. Thanks for joining us today, Lindsay.
This has been great. Thanks so much.
It has been great. Terrific conversation. Appreciate it. All right. So we hope you all enjoyed this episode of PR Profiles, brought to you by Agility PR Solutions. And before you go, we wanted to let you know that we have recently launched Agility Social. You can turn casual social media comments and conversations into business critical insights with our new social listening platform. So learn more about that at agilitypr.com today. So thanks again to Lindsay Groper, and thanks to you all for tuning in. I'm Richard Carafell with Agility PR Solutions, and we'll see you on the next episode.